It is a state capitol report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Republican lawmakers who control the legislature's finance committee are in the final weeks of crafting its two-year state budget plan, with Joint Finance Committee expected to finish revising Democratic Governor Tony Evers' budget by the end of this month and forward it on to the full Assembly and Senate for floor votes. Call in with a question or comment about the budget, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Wisconsin Public Radio's Anya von Wagtendonk is state capitol reporter, and Sean Johnson is capitol bureau chief. Anya and Sean, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Thanks.
Well, Sean, let's start with you. State aid to local governments shared revenue. Last week, we saw Republican leaders and Governor Evers reach an agreement over sharing money from tax collections with municipalities and schools. What are the highlights of this deal?
This is, you know, we've been talking about this as kind of a deal for a while, but at every step, I'm kind of amazed that Republican leaders and the governor have come together on something as kind of monumental as this. They are talking about pretty wholesale changes to the way that local governments are funded going forward. They're carving off 20% of the state's sales tax to pay for local communities. That means as the sales tax grows, they're going to get some of that revenue. And then the deal, you know, the kind of the revised deal that they announced last week is that this pot of money that's going out to these local communities, every community under 110,000 people will see an increase of an increase of 20% in their funding at minimum. Some will see more, but that will be a floor. And that was up from the original deal they came out with was 10%. Then they upped it to 15%. Now they're up to 20%. And then I think also the key provisions that they announced last week have a path forward for the city of Milwaukee specifically to deal with a fiscal cliff that, you know, leaders there have been warning is on the horizon if there was no state action.
We're going to get to Milwaukee in just a moment here. But when you say wholesale changes, how restricted or unrestricted will this funding stream be for local cities and towns and counties to pay for things?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess when I say wholesale changes, I mean, if you just look at the way that local governments have been funded for the last 20 years, we commonly refer to it as shared revenue. But the state funding to local governments has actually it's been at a flat level, and it's actually been cut three times in the last 20 years. So think about how much expenses have grown in the last 20 years, and their actual funding has been cut three times. So now you've got they're actually going to see an increase that could grow. But you're right, there are a lot more restrictions on this funding than the state used to impose on money that it spent on local governments. So, you know, these communities would have to spend it on expenses like police, firefighters, court expenses. There would be very specific restrictions on the city of Milwaukee. Milwaukee could not spend any of this revenue on the streetcar there, for example. Diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts around the state would not be eligible for this funding. You know, any number of ways where local governments would get the funding, but only if they spend it on these expenses that the legislature and governor have said is where this funding should go.
And Anya, I want to bring you in at this point because this has been really a critical juncture for Milwaukee. One of the biggest sticking points in the negotiations was over proposed sales taxes for the city and county. What has been resolved there?
Right. So Milwaukee leaders repeatedly asked to be able to raise the tax just through a standard vote by elected leaders. So in the county board and the Milwaukee Common Council, because they said they couldn't get the tax with the referendum, and they will desperately need that tax. And so under this deal, the legislature is going to allow the sales tax hike without making voters weigh in, so without a voter referendum. If it's passed by the respective councils, then the city tax could go up by 2% and the county's tax by 0.4%.
talking about state politics with WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk and Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. And you can join in on the upcoming state budget, what you see, questions you have about it, 800-642-1234. Anya, what would the ability to raise the sales tax mean for government-funded services in Milwaukee, as Sean mentioned, this fiscal cliff?
Right. Milwaukee leaders warned about substantial cuts that they would need to make to core services, specifically to police and firefighting. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson said that hundreds of police officers would need to be cut. Milwaukee firefighters have also said they're already working understaffed, and so there could be cuts there, and potentially also cuts to the library service, the TikTok famous Milwaukee Library. Mm-hmm. So Milwaukee leaders say that, you know, this new tax will bring in tens of millions of dollars in annual revenue, which would avoid having to cut those core services. It's also worth noting, I'm referring to Milwaukee's elected leaders, but many major kind of private industries in Milwaukee also supported the sales tax. And that includes Milwaukee's equivalent of a Chamber of Commerce and even the Milwaukee Bucks.
In terms of the what the shared revenue funds can go toward, Milwaukee also must meet demands with this funding. What are some of those in terms of public safety?
Yeah, as Sean mentioned, Milwaukee had a couple of strings attached to their dollars. So that includes maintaining a certain level of police funding, as well as bringing police back into public schools. This was an area of some contention among activists who had school resource officers removed from the schools several years ago. And under this deal, those would return to the public schools.
Turning now to education, Sean, which is also part of this deal. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss had opposed allowing sales tax hikes in the city and county of Milwaukee without referendums. What would Republicans get from the deal that earned their support?
Yeah, Voss actually described this as the reason that he went from a position of, you know, we're done negotiating to, you know, we're back at the table. And there he was at a press conference, you know, announcing this deal last week. There is an agreement. It looks like it's going to be in a separate bill, where the state is going to increase the amount spent per pupil on private voucher schools. So it's going to go up for kids in private voucher schools in grades K through 8 by about $1,100 per student, about $3,000 per student for those in high school. Charter schools would see an increase of about $1,700. And then per pupil funding for Wisconsin's special needs scholarship program would go up by about $1,600. Voss pointed to those dollar figures as, you know, they made the deal for him. And
what's in it for Evers?
Evers is, as far as school funding goes, and we don't know exactly what they're going to agree on in terms of a dollar amount that the state is going to spend, but they reached an agreement that between state and local funding, they're going to see an increase of $1 billion in, you know, it's like revenue limit authority, basically a combo of state and local spending there. We'll see the fine print of that this week, likely when the legislature passes its schools budget, but they, you know, it's not going to be flat funding from the state. There will be an increase for public schools. And per pupil, you're going to be looking at $325 per year in each of the next 2 years for public schools.
Okay, getting down into the details there. Let's go to Crash in Milwaukee. Hi, Crash.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What would you like to bring up?
Well, I would just like to say, we're the taxpayers. And so if the money, we give money to the state should not tell us how that money should be spent. We're in the communities, and we are the people who can decide what our needs are and how to meet them best, especially the city of Milwaukee. Because as a community, the city of Milwaukee generates more revenue for the state than any other community. We deserve to spend it on the fixing our problems as we see them.
Crash, thank you for that. Sean, do you hear that sentiment elsewhere?
I think it's especially acute in Milwaukee because there are so many restrictions that are specific to Milwaukee. You know, there's restrictions on the funding all over the state in terms of what the money can be spent on broadly, but they get really into the fine details with Milwaukee. What Republicans say about why they're doing this is, hey, we're giving you the opportunity or the permission to have this big sales tax increase. That's not something Republicans would normally do. 2% for the city, 0.4% for the county. And so that's how they view the trade-off. I think you're going to see potentially some Milwaukee Democrats vote for this bill because the sales tax provisions are so important to them, even though they don't like the restrictions elsewhere.
WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson and Capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk get us up to speed as the state's budget writing committee takes action on major parts of the two-year spending plan in the final weeks of budget season. There's room to talk about budget priorities and the process at hand. Call in with a question or a comment, 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The state budget covers a two-year period starting July 1, and that budget crafted by the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee, it requires approval by both houses, Assembly and Senate. That will send the spending plan back to Governor Tony Evers, who can use his partial veto powers to rewrite the budget plan. Raise a question about the budget. Share your thoughts. Call in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sean Johnson and Anya Van Wagtendonk cover the state capitol and politics for WPR. Anya, talking about new employees, Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call sought to add employees at key state agencies in the next budget, and Call had requested 16 new positions at the state crime lab. What are Republicans supporting?
Right. So Josh Call, and it should be noted, his Republican challenger from last fall, Eric Toney, called for increased staff for state crime labs, things like toxicologists and DNA analysts. They argue that this would allow the labs to process evidence faster, which speeds up the entire investigative or court process. Republicans who control the budget writing committee last week approved three positions for those crime labs, so a significantly lower number.
And Anya, the attorney general had been funding the five-year-old Office of School Safety with federal dollars. He had requested to keep funding it with state dollars, which Republicans rejected. What will happen to this office?
According to Joshua Call, that'll gut the office. It's sort of unclear whether there will be other avenues for revenue, but he was asking for a significant amount of funding, and the approved amount was $0.
Sean, what reasons did Republicans cite for not continuing to fund it?
They said when they're asked about it on Friday that there's a base amount basically in the budget that will fund, I think it's around four state employees to run that office. And so they didn't want that, you know, the office has been expanding its duties over the last couple of years using federal funds. And they said they didn't want to basically backfill every program in state government that had been using federal funds over the last couple of years. So there are employees in DOJ that will be available to work on this office. Not nearly as many as the attorney general wanted, though, when it comes to school safety.
And let's turn also to Department of Safety and Professional Services, another office seeking additional staff. Anya, Governor Evers had requested new employees to help DSPS eliminate its backlog in issuing job licenses. Where are Republicans at in on this idea?
Yeah, this is an area of significant and ongoing divide between Democrats and Republicans, many years in the making. Democrats say that backlog is because of low staffing and underfunding. Republicans say it's because of bad leadership and mismanagement. So Evers called for about 80 staffers for the department in his budget, and Republicans on the budget committee approved about 18, about a dozen of which are for those license-related positions, so it would be dedicated to improving the backlog. Republicans just say that they don't want to throw money at an agency that's not doing a good job until it can prove that it's turning things around. And Democrats say it can't turn things around without proper staffing and funding.
They also seems to get their license application processing software upgrade that was, over $4 million. That seems to be a green light.
That's right. And Republicans in the Assembly last week also approved a slate of bills that are aimed at kind of some policy solutions, adding some additional requirements to the agency. Again, Democrats pushed back against that, saying that if you make policy changes, again, you need the money and the staff to implement them. But so these changes are coming through, and we'll start to see, I think, over the next couple of months to what extent they are they make a significant difference in the agency.
And Sean, the DSPS audit, is that still underway from earlier this year?
Yeah, we have not heard the results anything of that audit yet, right? They ordered it, but that's ongoing.
Talking about state politics with WPR State Capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk and State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, you can join in with your questions about the budget, priorities, what you see for your community, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. So last week, Republican Representative Mark Bourne, co-chair, Joint Finance Committee, was on our program. And here's Bourne on funding for the State Department of Corrections.
We're also going to make some significant investments in corrections and trying to help staff those facilities in a safe way.
Anya, what decisions were made on funding Department of Corrections?
Yeah, so this is another area Evers pushed for significant wage hikes in his budget. Notably, the budget committee has not yet taken up the issue of wage hikes. It was kind of expected that they might at their hearing on the Department of Corrections last week. They said that they'll take up compensation issues at a specific separate session. And so what they ended up approving funding for was kind of a smaller portion of the budget, things like covering increasing inmate costs, which are just going up due to inflation and increased healthcare costs and other reasons, overtime pay for staff. They launched a few new positions within the department, and they're also paying into a medication-assisted drug treatment program. We're still waiting to see what might happen with potential pay increases for corrections workers.
Okay, so details still to be worked out there. Give us a status update then, Anya. Where are we at? What parts of the state budget are yet to be reviewed by Joint Finance Committee?
Yeah, we have a busy week ahead of us. This week, the Joint Finance Committee is going to take up health, children and family services, military affairs, transportation, and then the very small portion of the budget that goes to education. That is a joke. That's a very large portion, including the UW system. So Sean and I have a lot of research papers to be reviewing this afternoon.
Sean, as you have that institutional memory going back years and years, how does this budget season compare or contrast to ones in past years or past decades?
I think the one thing that you look back on this one and remember is that there was just a lot of money to work with. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of creates new issues, I guess, in terms of how to spend it. You're also seeing kind of the way that Evers and Republicans are working together is a little different this time around. This shared revenue or this local government funding bill that we've spent a lot of time talking about, they pulled that out of the budget. And it's weird. They don't even actually have any money in that bill because they want to prevent Evers from even using his partial veto pen to change it. Hmm. So there's just a little, maneuvering there in terms of how they're working together. But I think big picture, you're not going to remember that so much as you're going to look back at this session as like the session they had all the money. And what did they do with it? How will this look 5 years from now? I don't know.
How could this next 2 year state budget affect tax rates, for Wisconsinites?
That's the outstanding question that we really don't know from Republicans yet. They didn't like the tax cut or the tax credits as Evers had structured them in the budget he introduced to the legislature, geared mostly toward people who are in less than $100,000. Republicans have talked about, cutting taxes across all rates. They're not going to move to a flat tax in this budget that we can tell. They've basically signaled as much. Mm-hmm. but you could see tax cuts for all rates, including the wealthiest residents, potentially. I would expect we'll find that out soon. You know, next week would be kind of my guess on when you find out what their tax cut's going to look like.
Well, Sean and Anya, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Anya Van Wagtendonk is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and Sean Johnson is Capitol Bureau Chief. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.